Amen. All right, take your Bibles, and folks, I'm just going to continue as the Lord's prompted my heart, and I can't get out of Joshua, so we're going back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. If the Lord permits, we're going to try to get through three verses tonight, and I mean that seriously because they're absolutely loaded verses. And Joshua chapter 5, last time we were together in Joshua, we finished up in verse 12. And we're going to pick up in verse 13 and look at 13, 14, and 15 tonight, if the Lord permits. Now, before we read these verses together, I want us to be reminded real quickly of what we've already looked at. Because remember this, as Israel has now crossed over into Canaan, they have crossed over into God's provision. And remember what I've said to you over and over and over again, for us, Canaan is not heaven, but Canaan is the life or the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, for you and I to walk into our Canaan or our provision is to walk into the fullness of all that Jesus Christ is for our life. And that means everything that Christ is in you, you can begin to experience in your everyday life. And so as Paul says, you know, Paul said, I came to know you and I counted all things but dung that I may gain the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then Paul said, but Lord, even though I've came to know you and counted all those things but dung, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection, and the fellowship of your sufferings, being made conformable unto your death. That's what it means. Paul was saying, I know you in relationship. I want to know you in fullness. I want to experience you every moment of every day in my life. That's our Canaan. Now, what we've looked at is in chapter 5, as Israel's come across, we've seen that some things have drastically changed now that Israel is now into Canaan. And you say, what are those things that have changed? Well, remember, God reinstituted the circumcision, which means he identified Israel with himself. And it speaks of their surrender unto the Lord in taking of that act. And if you remember also, God reinstituted the Passover. And now they can celebrate their deliverance. Why couldn't they celebrate it before? Because they were delivered out, but they had not been delivered into. And remember this, when God saved you, he delivered you out of bondage to deliver you into fullness. And so to really celebrate the deliverance of the Lord and the Lamb, you and I must walk in that fullness to really be able to take full benefit of all that God's done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then we saw that the manna ceased, and now they were eating of the corn of the ground. And we've looked at all those truths. Now, so now they're beginning to progress into the God's provision. And then one other thing takes place. And this thing is what I believe is the essence of the fullness of Christ. And you say, what is it? Well, Joshua had a personal manifestation of the living. I believe that's what comes out of fullness. You and I begin to get into the flow of what God is doing, and you and I find that God begins to manifest himself in unique and unusual ways in and around us. And folks, listen, if anybody has been able to see a little bit of that, Liberty Baptist Church has been able to see that in the last few weeks. As God has manifested himself in a unique and a mighty way. And so I want you to see how this takes place and see what it is. Look at verse 13, and let's read these three verses. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, which had his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to praise you and thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, you would set me aside. You would set me out of the way. Lord, you'd bring my thoughts under the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would speak through me words of truth. And Father, you would be my thoughts, you'd be my words, you'd be my affection, you'd be my attention. And Father, I pray that you'd glorify yourself in speaking to us through this precious text. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Now what we have in this passage is what we call a pre-incarnate encounter with Christ. Now you say, what do you mean pre-incarnate encounter with Christ? Well, a lot of people have this idea that Christ did not exist until he was born of the Virgin Mary. I got news for you. The Bible says that he always was and never ceased to be. Matter of fact, the Bible says when God created the heaven and earth, he said, let us create man in our own image. And it says God created. And that is plural, meaning the triune Godhead. The us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, he's always been, always will be, and never ceased to be. And so he has always been. Now, here's the thing. But yet in the Old Testament, there's these encounters in which the Father allowed individuals to get a glimpse of the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. And you say, well, where are these encounters located? Well, there's several of them. I'll just mention a few just to kindly help us a little bit. If you remember when Abraham was traveling around, the Lord sent a traveler to him. And you remember that traveler prepared a meal for him. That was the pre-incarnate Christ. We also, before Abraham became Abraham, when he was Abram, he was walking along the roadside and there came a man to him. And the man was called Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem, which means king of peace. And we know something about Melchizedek because Hebrews chapter 5 says of Melchizedek that he had no beginning of days and no end of life. He had no father and he had no mother. Now, I'm not very smart, but if you never had beginning of days and never had end of life, that's eternal. And you say, well, how do you know it's Christ? Because there's only one that's eternal, and it's God, and it's Christ. And so the king of Salem, the king of peace. And the other thing is Abram worshipped him and brought a tithe to him. First time we see the word tithe mentioned in Scripture. And that's another time. We also see with Jacob, the schemer. If you remember Jacob, he had an encounter with a pre-incarnate Christ. And that's when God was going to change his name to Israel. And Jacob had a wrestle match with God. And can I tell you, God broke his hip, but God also broke Jacob. And now Jacob was a vessel God could finally use because he broke him. And we see here in this passage where now Joshua is going to encounter a pre-incarnate Christ. And this time it's going to be described as the captain of the host. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego encountered a pre-incarnate Christ. I got news for you, folks. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fire, he didn't see three, he saw four. And I'll tell you who that fourth one was. It was Christ, pre-incarnate. And so we see this all through the Old Testament. And this is what we see in this passage. Now, I want you to see why this is so important to us. And why I believe it also authenticates the principle that the provision God made for us is Christ Jesus. Look first with me at the appearance of this captain of the host. If you look in verse 13, it says that it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now, here's what it says, that Joshua has now, if you will, exiled himself for a brief moment away from Israel. He's went to the edge of Jericho to spy out the city. Now, you say, why is that? Well, because Joshua is the commander of God's army, the commander of Israel. And now Joshua is to lead this people into battle and lead this people into continuous battle as they continue to take the land of Canaan. Now, you can understand Joshua here being in this place that he's in, this place in which he got this appearance. Here's Joshua standing outside of Jericho, examining what was before them. Now, here's the amazing thing. They didn't have battering rams. They didn't have moving towers where they could climb the walls of Jericho. They didn't have slings where they could shoot people over the walls of Jericho like some would do in that day. They didn't have many of the things they needed. All they had was the minuscule things of war. They had arrows, they had swords, and they had spears, and that was it. And those things are absolutely useless when it comes to a massive wall that surrounded Jericho. So you can imagine how Joshua was sitting there trying to say, all right, I wonder how we're going to do this. God's promised we're going to take Jericho, but I don't know how it's going to be done. Well, can I tell you, that's exactly where God wants us to be. When God gets us to the place where we realize God's promised it, but we don't understand how he's going to do it. Can I tell you, that's when God will manifest himself and show you. When we think we can do it, God will just stand back and let us try it. But when we know we can't, that's when God will show up. And this is where Joshua is. He's in a place where God can truly appear to him. Now, the thing about this is so amazing is when the Lord appeared to him in this way, he appeared to him in form of a person. This was not where God spoke to him from heaven and say, all right, Joshua, this is how I want you to do this. That's not what took place. God literally visualized himself through the person of the Lord Jesus. Now you say, why did it have to be through the person of the Lord Jesus? Because the Bible says no one can look upon God and live. In other words, when Jesus came to this earth, John chapter 1 says that he came to this earth to reveal to man the glory of the Father. God who could not be seen was seen in the person of Christ Jesus. Means that Christ in his humanity did not cease to be God, but tempered the glory of God that God could be seen through him and man could see God and still live. Now you say, well, boy, what a glorious privilege the Lord Jesus had. Well, can I tell you today, if you're saved, you have the same privilege. Because God, the same Father that was in the Son is the same Father that took his residence inside of you. And you say, what's God's intention? The same as it was with the Lord Jesus. To show the world who God is, who cannot see God and live. That's the privilege you and I have in grace. And so here is where this captain of the Lord's host appeared unto Joshua, the person in the appearance. And you say, it was the Lord Jesus. It absolutely was. Isn't it amazing that every single book of the Bible in some way, shape, or form refers and points to the Lord Jesus? I mean, you go to Genesis. What in Genesis? Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. Y'all remember that? I mean, you go to Exodus and you find out in Exodus, he's the tabernacle. You find out he's the Passover lamb. I mean, you go to Leviticus, you find out he's the offerings. You find out he's the high priest. You go to Deuteronomy and you find out that Jesus Christ is the sufficient one and he is the rock and he's the great rock in which the water comes out. I mean, we could go all the way through, folks, but listen, you come to Joshua and you find that Jesus Christ is the captain of the host. And I'm telling you, I'm glad we got a captain on our side. For if God be for us, who can be? That's right. And so here we see this person in this appearance. Now, the thing was that this was an answer to the prayer and promise, the promise of God and the prayer of the people. If you remember chapter 1, God promised Joshua something. He said, I will go before you, and I will go what? With you. And then the last couple of verses of chapter 1, remember when Joshua expounded to the people what God said? The people said to Joshua in response, we pray that God will go with you. Well, can I tell you? God answered their prayer. Here's God manifesting himself to Joshua. Right in this moment. And so this person in which Joshua encounters. Now, here's the thing. If you'll notice something here, he just did not appear as a normal person. He appeared as a soldier with his sword drawn. The posture of his appearance. Now you say, why is that so important? Because he appeared, when you draw your sword as a soldier, you're drawing it saying, I'm ready for battle. I'm ready to fight. And so now Joshua's encountered this person. Now at this moment, he does not know who this person is. And all he sees is this person that has appeared unto him with his sword drawn, ready to fight. Now you can understand what's going through Joshua's mind. Is he come to fight with us or fight against us? Is he coming to fight me or is he coming to come along my side to fight with me? I mean, this had to be going through Joshua's mind. We know from his question, this is what Joshua was thinking. But here's the reality of it, and we'll find this out here, that God was showing Joshua in the person of Christ that I have come ready for battle. Why? Because the battle never was yours, Joshua. The battle's always been mine. And I'm the victorious one. I'm the one going to win the battle. You just get on the same page with me and you walk in the flow of what I'm going to do. And as the captain of a host, I will usher in the victory. And you can just enjoy the spoils of what I do. Isn't that what God done for us? I mean, when God set us free from our sin, can I tell you, did we do anything to get freedom from our sin? No. I mean, listen, all we did was say yes to the Lord. That was it. I mean, God's the one that gave us victory over our sin. I mean, it's what Jesus did on the cross and his burial and his resurrection that gave us victory over sin. It's Jesus coming alive in us that gives us victory over sin. And listen, the victorious ones already won the battle, already won the war, already won the victory. And you and I just get to get in on the spoils because the victory never was ours to win. It was always God's to win, and he won it, and we're enjoying it. That's the glorious truth. If you think you've got to do something, folks, you're going to be defeated. If you know God's already done it, you're going to win. Amen? I mean, listen, wouldn't it be great to go into battle and know you win before you started? Well, that's the glorious privilege of a child of God. I mean, we keep asking God to give us what he's already given us. I mean, we keep asking God, God, I need more victory. God, I need more power. God, I need more joy. God, I need more peace. God, I need this. I need this. And the last time I checked, the Bible says Christ is our peace. He is our victory. He is our joy. And he is our power. So to say I need more is to say I need more of Christ. Well, can I tell you, God didn't give Christ to you by measure. He gave you all of Christ when you got him. So instead of asking God in that way, how about this? God, I thank you for the joy you've given me in Christ. I thank you for the peace that I have in Christ. I thank you for the victory that's been won by Christ in my life. I thank you today that I don't need more power. I have all power in heaven and earth because all power in heaven and earth was given unto your Son, and you gave your Son to me, and now because he is all power, I can walk in his power. That's the glorious truth. And this is what the captain of the host is going to show to Joshua. Because I'm sure Joshua was belittled. How can we take this walled city with what we have to fight with? And God just reminds Joshua, it never was your battle to win. Well, notice what Joshua does before he comes to this place. Notice, secondly, the affirmation of the captain of the host. Joshua had to affirm that this one was for him and not against him. And so Joshua asked this question, art thou for us? Or are for our adversaries? Now you say, well, Joshua, why in the world would you confront him like this? And that's what we have is he literally confronts this one that's standing there with his sword drawn. And you say, why would Joshua do that? I mean, isn't Joshua sinning by doing that? I would say to you, absolutely not. Why? He didn't know who he was. And can I tell you, this is a biblical principle for you and I. As you and I begin to walk in our provision in Christ, now I want you to hear me, you and I will be bombarded with every other thing that's not Christ. And how do you and I know what is of Christ and what is not of Christ? How do you and I know what is of Christ that we can yield to and what's not of Christ that we resist? The Bible says in James, we to test every spirit. 1 John, we're to test every spirit to see if they be of God. How do we test the spirits to see if they be of God? Can I tell you, it's real simple. It's called the Word of God. Can I tell you, if it does not sift through the Word of God, it never was God. Never was God. And so you and I need to test the spirits to see if they be of God. Now here's what Joshua does. Joshua comes out and asks him a straight question. And the question was a confronting question. Are you for us or are you against us? But notice this. Notice the confession in which this pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord Christ, made to Joshua. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now, wait a minute. Nay? Wait a minute. God, are you not for your people? Nay? The word nay means neither. I'm not for you, and I'm not against you. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me scratch my head a little bit. Amen? But now here's the principle. It's a glorious principle. Because the principle is this. Joshua, I've not come as the captain of the host to get in on your plans. I'm come to the as the captain of the host for you to get in on my plans. Y'all got that? In other words, if you're going to do it by your plans, I'm against you. If you're going to do it by my plans, I'm for you. Y'all got it? Because this is what we do, folks. We go out in this world and we try to live the Christian life in our plans. I'll go a step further. And y'all going to love me, say amen. There's so many people try to do church in the way that makes sense for them. That's the reason you have all these churches. When they start up, they go out and do surveys. And they say, well, all right, what kind of music you want? What kind of preacher you want? What kind of degree you want him to have? How old you want him to be? How do you want him to preach? Can I tell you? Who cares? It don't matter what man thinks. What matters, what God already said. And so here we see, God says, listen, I'm neither for you nor against you. If you walk as me as the captain of the host, let me take over, let me take the charge. I'll tell you, I'll be for you. But if you go against me, I'll be against you. And you say, well, I don't see that anywhere in the New Testament. Good question. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 says that you and I, as children of God, can be enemies against God. You say, how's that possible? Because listen, anytime you pit yourself against the will of God, you're pitting yourself against God, even though you're a child of God. And so here's what he says. I mean, this confession, I'm neither. But then notice thirdly the authority of the captain of the host. When he says neither, then he clarifies. He says, but I am the captain of the host of the Lord, and I am now come. He gives Joshua here his authority. I'm not standing here as a soldier, a foot soldier. I'm not standing here as a soldier that's going to go behind the commander. I'm standing here as the captain of the Lord's host. Now you say, who is the Lord's host? Well, I believe it includes everything that belongs to God. I believe it includes the children of God as well as the angelic host in heaven. You say, how do you base that? Well, Psalm says that he is the Lord of the host, speaking of the children of God. But also all through Scripture says that he is the captain of the host, being the angelic host. And can I tell you, Jesus, when he was in the garden, the Bible says of the Lord Jesus that at any moment he could have called down legions of angels. And you say, who's those angels? It's the host that's in heaven that's at God's beckoning. And he's saying, listen, I'm not just the captain of Israel. And I'm not just captain of those that claim to be God's people. I'm the captain of all the angelic hosts in heaven and all of God's people on earth. He said, there's not one person that is above me. Now listen, folks, this is so important for us. For you and I have to get it through our minds that there is no one in or through our lives, including ourselves, that has any authority of our lives other than Christ Jesus. And can I tell you, he is worthy of that position. He's worthy of that position. And so we see the authority here. And here's what he said. He's making a statement in this statement. He's saying, Joshua, I come before you ready to battle, for the war's mine, not yours. And I come before you to tell you, step aside, my friend. Let me have the control. Someone said one time that you and I need to get out of the driver's seat and get in the passenger seat. I always say we need to get out of the driver's seat and get in the trunk. Amen? You say, why do you say that? Because I know two people that ride in the passenger seat to try to tell the driver how to drive. Hello? Say, well, can I get in the back seat? No, I know too many people that know how to drive from the back seat too. But last time I checked in the trunk, you can't hear them. Amen? That's where we need to be. We need to be to a place, folks, that listen, it's not what we want, it's not what we think, it's what you say, God. Because I want to tell you, this is important, because when we get to chapter 6 Sunday morning, you're going to find out that God's plan to take Jericho made no sense to man. So God was going to make sure Joshua was ready for this. In other words, Joshua, God's made you commander of the people, and I'm the commander of the commander of the people. Are you ready to listen to me? Amen? You know, folks, most of the trouble we get into, we do because of ourselves. We get ourselves into it. because we try to manipulate things and we try to maneuver things to our advantage or what we think is to our good? And how many times do we take them things and get alone with God and pray and ask God, God, what do you want in this situation? Listen, he's the captain of the host. And so we see this glorious picture of the authority. Well, how many of you would like to agree that Joshua now gets a little glimpse of who this man is? You say, how do you know? Well, Scripture tells us. Look what it says. The Bible says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Now, notice the affection for the captain of the host. What was Joshua's first response? He fell on his face. Why? It's a place of submission. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of inadequacy. It's a place of helplessness. But it's a place that's yielding to the authority of another. You with me? Listen, folks. You and I ought to fall on our face in our hearts every single day. And trust unto him our life. For he's the only one that can control. And listen, from this response comes reverence. Because after he fell on his face, he what? Worshipped him. Worshipped him. Now, y'all gonna love me? Y'all promise? Listen. I'm gonna get up here in case y'all throw something. I can run. All right, now listen. No, I'm just kidding. Listen to me just a minute. How many of you agree that we can worship on Sundays and Wednesdays? Y'all say, man, we can. Amen. But do you know some people think that's the only time they worship? But can I tell you today that every time you're worshiping something, every time you draw his air and you exhale his air, you're worshiping something. All that you do, do for the glory of what? God. Whether in words or whether in deeds, do all to the glory of God. Can I tell you, every step we take ought to be a step of worshiping the Lord Jesus. And you say, how do I get to that place where I'm worshiping him with every aspect of my life? Well, you continue to stay on your face before him. And then you find worship becomes a natural outflow. Why? Because he gave you his nature. And his nature is a nature of adoration and worship. He gave you his spirit, and his spirit's always pointing you to Christ and always wooing and drawing you to the Son. And can I tell you, every step you take, you stay on your face before God, and you'll find that worship becomes a natural outflow of your life. That's fullness. That's fullness. And here's the principle. Joshua could never walk and could never war until he first worshiped. Y'all get that? We can never walk in the spiritual life, and we can never walk into spiritual warfare unless we first worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Captain of the Host. And this is where it begins. Now, watch this with me. Notice the accountability to the Captain of the Host. Watch what Joshua does here. This to me is just an amazing passage. He falls on his face, he worships, and he says, and I want you to see what he says, because this is very picturesque. What saith my Lord unto his what? Servant. So what do you see? You see a yieldedness. You see the desire of Joshua first. What is the desire? What saith my Lord? In other words, Joshua's yielding to the captain of the host of God's host. And he says, all right, Lord, what saith thou to me? I mean, what do you got to say to me? What direction do you have for me? What plan do you have for me? What do you want to tell me? Lord, whatever you want to say, I'll listen. I'll hear. Even if I don't understand it, even if I don't like it, what do you have to say? Can I tell you? every time, folks, every day of your life when you open this Word of God for your private devotion, and every time you come and you sit under your Sunday school teachers, and every time you come and you sit under the preaching of the Word, and every time you listen to someone teaching or preaching the Word, you and I ought to open our hearts up to the point we say, God, all I want is one thing. Would you speak to your servant today? Because I don't know about you, I need to hear from him. Amen? I need to hear from him. And this desire of Joshua, but notice this desire results in dependence. Speak to me, your servant. Your servant. And the word here simply means this, that as your servant. Now remember, this is the commander of God's people, the commander of God's Israel. This is the one that God said to him that, Moses, you're now taking up the reins and you're now taking up the cloak of Moses and you're now going to lead my people into the promised land. But yet now Joshua's encountered one greater than he. And now in that place of dependence, he says, oh God, he said, now I understand you're the captain and I'm the servant. You're the master and I'm the one that serves you. So in other words, whatever you say, I say yes. You ever tried to argue with God? I have. You know what I found out? Can I just tell you from my testimony? I haven't won one yet. So why in the world do I continue to try to do it? Listen, folks. The glorious grace that God has given us is that we as servants of God can yield ourselves to Him as Master and Lord and King of Kings. And we can know that we're in good hands with Him. Boy, this is how you walk in warfare. Because listen, when you walk in fullness, you're going to walk in warfare. This is how it happens. You've got to stay grounded. You've got to stay humbled at the feet of Jesus and understand you're just the servant and He's the Lord. Now, watch the last thing here, the announcement of the captain of the host. I want you to see this. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, this is the Lord's response to what Joshua asked. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. You say, what kind of response is that? Oh, look at it with me. Notice it begins with a command. Loose the shoes from off your foot. And you say, well, what's so big about that? Well, Joshua's just said, Lord, you're the master, I'm the servant, speak and I'll obey. So what does God start with? Well, Joshua, here's where I want you to start. Take your shoes off. Now, it would have been easy for Joshua to do like we tend to do and say, well, God, that's fine, but you don't understand. My socks have got a hole in them. Isn't that what we'd probably do? I mean, Lord, you don't understand. I mean, my feet stinketh. I mean, we'd come up with something, would we not? Or Lord, this don't make any sense. Why you want me to take my shoes off? That's not what Joshua did. Notice the last little phrase, and Joshua did so. What did he do? He said, I'm your servant. Now he's acting on what he said. Y'all got it? Say amen. Because, listen, God's going to give Joshua a command concerning Jericho. Again, it's not going to make any sense. And so God's got to make sure Joshua knows that he's in control. Now watch this. Notice the consecration of the announcement. He says, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And you say, well, preacher, that's just simple, isn't it? Oh, no, it's profound. You say, what was holy? Well, where's Joshua standing? He's standing in heathen country. He's standing in enemy territory. He's standing in a land that God's promised but yet has not been conquered. He's standing in a land where the people worship idols and have nothing to do with God. And he's saying, Joshua, where you stand is holy. Now you say, what makes this heathen land holy? Number one, because God's there. Number two, because it's not their land, it's God's land. And number three, God's promised he gave it to Israel, God's people. Now listen to me, folks. The Bible says you've become a holy tabernacle. And I want you to hear me. Everywhere you go, because you're holy, because of Christ, is made holy because of the Christ in you. Y'all got that? Say amen. So what does that encourage us to do? Walk holy. That's right. Because what happens if I'm going somewhere I'm not supposed to be and doing something I'm not supposed to do, then what am I doing? I'm defiling what God said was holy. Y'all got that? So the idea here is, Joshua, I want you to yield to me as captain of the host, but I want you to walk in the mindset and the heart that this is holy, holy, holy. Can I tell you, folks, if you'll see that your life has become holy through the Lord Jesus, He gave you His righteousness. In God's eyes, you are holy as Christ is holy. If you will see yourself that way, then can I tell you, it'll keep you from a lot of sin in your life. Because why would you want to defile what God calls holy? Amen? He says, where you step is holy. And then notice the last thing here, the confirmation and the announcement. When God said this to Joshua, He was confirming to Joshua this. He said, Joshua, I promised you I'd give you the land. Now I'm confirming to you the land is yours. Why? Because, Joshua, I came to fight the battle for you. It's not yours to fight. And I'm the captain of all the hosts of God. And the one that spoke creation into existence has now come to fight your battles. And I promised you it was God's land that He's given you. And now I'm telling you, God sees it as holy. So, Joshua, even though that wall of Jericho is tall, and even though the defenses of Jericho are mighty, Joshua, I'm here to tell you today, it's as good as torn down, even though you don't see any evidence of it. Y'all got it? Do you see the struggles of your life? Do you see them as being torn down, or you see them as barriers and defense holds? Can I tell you today, folks, if God is God in you and in me, there's nothing that I'll ever encounter that God's not more than sufficient to take care of in my life. Amen? So here's the thing. When God saved you, He gave you Himself. And who did He give you? He gave you the person of the Lord Jesus, who is the captain of the host of the Lord. And so I don't work towards victory. I work from victory. Amen? So I don't have to struggle to get to victory. I can thank Him that I am victorious. And I can walk with that kind of heart. Because I got a captain living in me. Amen? Father, I love You, I praise You, and I thank You. Lord, thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for this precious passage. Father, what an amazing passage we have before us. And Father, I thank You for, Lord, how You showed up in Joshua's life right on time. Lord, You knew exactly where he was. You knew exactly what was going on in his mind and his heart. And Lord, You showed up right on time. And Lord, that's the way You work. But Lord, You have to get us to that place, as You got Joshua, of falling on our face and worshiping You and acknowledging You in all Your ways. And Lord, yielding to You. And saying, Lord, I'm just an old servant. Lord, I can't get myself out of a bathtub without You. I can't get myself through a door without You. Lord, I don't know the steps to take. I don't know the path to go. For without You, I'm blind. And without You, I have no strength. And so, Lord, I'm just an old servant. Lord, would You speak to this old servant? Lord, would you speak to this old servant? And Lord, I want to thank you today that your sword is drawn. And Father, just as you came as a lamb before the slaughter, you come as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And I want to thank you that you're my lamb. But I want to thank you you're my lion. And I want to thank you that, Lord, you have delivered and you are delivering. And I want to thank you today that in you I have all I could ever need and ever want and ever desire. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.